Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for bye week 2020. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who found himself on the wrong side of the law this week. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. How are you? It's good to be free, my friend, to be free, to be out from the confines of the Frankston Police Station. I thank you to our Patreon subscribers who helped pay for my bail. Now, I know it's going to be in the courts, so we can't say too much about what is going down.
Yeah, we can't give you your name, your details, you know, your Twitter account, your Facebook details, your bank account. We can't do that kind of stuff. But the pub you
Nothing
live near.
Like that. But there's an article on the Fox Footy website if you want to read about my trials and tribulations of the last few weeks. It says here a footy fan has been arrested and charged with stalking an AFL umpire, leaving, quote, menacing voicemails after obtaining the whistleblower's phone number. Now,
oh God,
you tell me. All right, so I got the umpire's number, right? I won't say how. I don't want to tip people into it. This is about me and the dirty low dog motherfucker that I rang up, right? Now, you tell me which bit of this is menacing, right? So I said, hello, I won't say the umpire's name because he'll fucking have another hissy fit and I'll get more charges thrown in my direction.
Yeah, sure. Does it rhyme with Drazer Dre?
Yeah, it could do. Maybe it doesn't. And anyway, I said, if you pay another disgusting holding the ball decision in Carlton's inside 50 in the last quarter, I will hunt you down and I will burn you alive in your family house. Now, you tell me. Also, good job in the Adelaide versus Brisbane game the other week.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, you tell me which bit of that is. I was mucking around. I was having a few laughs, you know.
You're pumping him up.
They've lost the art of the joke, these. It was 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
It was the 17th call.
Uh-huh.
I called from his driveway. And all these things the AFL was saying is illegal. But can I just say, it was between July 31st and August 1st. Now, I had reason. I had an exemption to be allowed outside the 5 kilometre radius of my house.
Yep.
Now, all the fucking. I tell you what, mate. When the cops are against you, geez, they make up a lot of charges. They said that some of the things that were thrown at his house had my DNA in them.
What? No. Like, witch hunt.
Mate. Yeah. Oh, it was a witch hunt. So anyway.
Dude, that's so amazing. I mean, I shouldn't be laughing, but I can't help laughing that some person has allegedly stalked an umpire.
Yeah. If found guilty, the man faces up
10 years.
10 years jail.
10 years. And there's detectives from the Sporting Integrity Intelligence Unit.
We're not making that bit up, actually.
No,
that
no, they're not AFL Black Ops, but they're from. Yeah. There's literally a group called Sporting Integrity Intelligence Unit who had to kind of deal with this 39-year-old man who was harassing.
Got my
umpire.
Age wrong. I do look young. Thank you. I do look young for my age.
Oh, dude. I mean, fuck, man. Like, I mean, how? I mean. Allegedly, everything's allegedly.
Like, absolutely.
Just like, how do you call an umpire? Like, oh my God.
Mate, it's easy to do. You think about it, right? Had you had, back in the day, had you had Wayne Jackson's phone number, would you have gone to the trouble of writing him a letter, or would you have gone straight through to Wayne Jackson here, how can I help you? G'day, Mr. Jackson. Michael Chamberlain here, disgruntled Hawthorn supporter. I've got a few suggestions for you. That would have been the easy way to it. It saves time. You get an immediate response. And that's all I wanted was for the umpire. He could have called me back.
Yeah,
I didn't call from a private number. Uh-huh. He had my number. But did he call me back? No, he didn't have the guts. Maybe I said, you call me back, I'll fucking murder you. But, you know, He could have called me back, mate. He could have texted me. Could have done something, but no, he's too scared to fucking, you know, it's a back and forth. I would have taken, I was giving him feedback. I would have expected it coming back my way. It was like a leading teams kind of situation.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. No, you're just being honest. Like, I mean, you got you had a talking stick with you.
I did have the talking stick, which I said I would wrap around his skull if he didn't pay another chop in the arms against Harry Mackay.
No, you're pretty much collective mind, mate. You're collective mind. You were helping him.
I am collective mind. Oh, it's actually a little bit of a sad time for us at the moment because usually the pre-finals bye, that is junk time week. That is the week when we have a couple of special guests. We get together with some of our closest junk timers at the European Beer Cafe. Mm. We've been robbed. You look at the things that have been taken away from people this year. I think easily that would be the biggest thing in people's minds.
I think that'd be the worst. Like, there are a lot of parents and the like talking about, you know, how they have to deal with homeschooling and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, obviously there's financial situations are very grave for many people, not us by the fact we're doing very well. But but the idea that, you know, people couldn't sit down on a Sunday afternoon and have a froth and listen to and watch a Junk Time live show is particularly heartbreaking, I think, for everybody in the country right now.
I think it is. But you know what almost undoes that is the fact that we have Mike Brady performing in a grand final. Now, hey. I don't know how they've orchestrated this. Brilliant from the AFL.
What a coup.
Just go, well, it was a coup. It was a coup. How long do you reckon they held out? Do you reckon they go, do we have to fucking...
Well, so we talked about Brady? 3 weeks ago, I think it was. We talked about Mike Brady. He said that he was more than willing to drive up on his Vespa to Queensland.
Yep.
And do the quarantine because he was so keen to perform at the grand final, which I mean, let's be honest, Mike Brady has never been keen to perform at a grand final ever before.
No, usually he does it against his will. They're like, Mike, do it. He's like, I can't. I've got friends come around. They go, mate, you're going to have to let him down. He's like, fucking hell, these people, they're starting to hate me. It's like 40 years in a row that I've been, jibbing them. I say next year, and they go, no, you're back.
Yeah, they kind of appeal to his sense of the game. So they say, Mike, you know, you got to do it for the people. And he's like, I don't want to do it. And he's like, also like, what song would you possibly want me to do? I don't know which one to do.
Yeah.
But he's actually going to perform at the grand final. But actually, it could be quite effective, Adam, as I raise my voice weirdly, just by the fact he would be performing in an empty MCG. And I think they say they're going to have the Queensland Symphony Orchestra performing kind of with him via a link, which I think it could be quite effective, like a lit-up MCG and a lone Mike Brady.
That is true. Do you think if you're a part of the QSO, as they are known, if you're in there and you sit down and you have trained for years, since you're a child, you're a child prodigy on the violin.
Mozart,
and then
Chopin.
You finally... Yeah, exactly. You make it. You've learned all the symphonies, all the great Germans and Austrians and your Czechoslovakians. You've studied for years.
Sure,
Yeah, you want your friends.
You want to play the Vienna Opera or the like.
Yeah, exactly. And then someone hands you the sheet music for Up There Kazaly. You just go, what have I done? What has my life become? This is fucked.
For a game that you do not follow one way whatsoever.
Exactly. You're just like, fucking hell. And hang on. Is he... Who's Roy Kazaly?
One day in September. What? But it's
so,
October.
Okay, so he's performing... He's on the G.
He's going to be on the MCG. Yeah.
So why is he... I mean, that's just the kind of theatre of it all. But it's a very odd thing to go... Why don't you stand at an empty ground with no atmosphere that's going to be really sort of weird for you to be on at twilight?
Well, that's why I think it could be quite effective, actually. And I think you talked about maybe changing it up a little bit. So maybe it could be a little bit like Eric Clapton kind of unplugged. So he might be doing like a bit of a hipper cooler version of One Day in Up There Kazaly, sorry. I think he was saying like he might try and, you know, mix with the orchestration a bit.
I would have preferred, like, you know, that Fremantle Docker guy who plays on the top of the stadium.
Plays
so you got Mike Brady up there. You go, you give him, see, haven't given him enough notice, but you tell him for next year, you go, Mike, start growing your hair, right? So by September of 2021, you cut to Mike Brady, he's up there, and it's like a fucking 9-minute solo before he gets into Up There Kazaly. You know, almost like November Rain when Slash is on the edge of the cliff.
Really good point. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think they have a wedding and a funeral in that film clip, and I think it only goes about 47 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have Mike, okay, which is good, which is good. And I'm not sure what the other plans are because they haven't announced like pre-game or halftime yet, like in terms of who the band's gonna be.
Actually a really good point because everyone was kind of saying it should be Powderfinger and Powderfinger went, hey, we're not doing it. Here's a list of bands that no one has ever heard of.
Yeah,
please
sure.
choose them. And the AFL went, thanks, Powderfinger. Oh, we lost that list, mate. sorry, Mr. Finger. It's gone.
Yeah, so we know Aggro's tossing the coin. Okay, that's all we know so far. There was an article during the week, or just yesterday, I think, actually, about a little bit of concern about the AFL wanting to hire dancers, but they don't want to pay them.
Well, they've called for volunteers. So I think basically people have kicked off saying, you know, in this COVID era that we need to get paid and that... you know, the economy's fucked, basically, and you can't be asking for volunteers. But I think that at almost every event that you've got your top-tier dancers, they're the ones who are next to, you say, your Mike Brady. They're, you know, kicking and flipping and doing whatever. And then you've got your grunt workers at the bottom, you know, that fill out the crowd. And you can't pay all of those. They've paid $60 million for fucking... You know, hubs. AFL hasn't got cash to burn.
That's a really good point, actually.
What do they think this is, AFLX?
Because I think if that whatever pre-game or kind of entertainment they have planned, I think there would be like a core group who kind of are on camera and in the thick of the action.
But yeah, then so say like, you're dancing Sharks alongside Katy Perry. They're fucking paid. There's no doubt about that.
Yep. But then like, actually, that's a good question because you know how they always have a mosh pit at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I imagine they get paid by the fact that, and actually I think at award shows like the Grammys and stuff like that, I imagine they get paid as well by the fact that they behave themselves.
Oh, no, see, I don't think that the people would misbehave because I think, like, say you're a child, cast your mind back to when you were 12. If someone had said to you, you get to be in the pre-game entertainment for the grand final.
Yep.
You would have been like, fuck yeah, I'm doing that. Are you kidding me? I get to run out on the Gabba.
I'd already be saying, Adam, that I'm already going because my team's playing in it.
And that's where you go. That's where you go. It's okay to beat children.
Well, famously.
But are they saying, like, is it professional dancers who have kicked off? Is that the issue?
Well, I think that the aim has been slightly off in a slight way by the fact I think people are kicking it off at the dance studio organization.
It's a powerful organization.
Oh no, yeah, I mean, you know, again, the wrong side of dancers, but so I think it's not an AFL directive, I suppose. It's more of a directive from the dance studio. So I mean, Dancegate 2020, I mean, it was about to happen, wasn't it? I mean, first we had the Masked Singer, now we have Dancegate number two. But
it's tough. What about I believe Sydney Stack said that he knew some dancers that he said they didn't really charge, but you kind of just gave them a tip for whatever they did, and he said they would be happy to dance.
Yeah, it just had to be a 20. Like they went fast. Like
cash though.
Cash. Got to be cash. But famously, Nathan Buckley appeared in halftime entertainment at the 1989 Grand Final.
Yeah. So, like I'm saying, you want to do it. It's an exciting thing. And I think as a young dancer, I would have, you know, reveled in the chance to, you know, dance before a grand final.
And then also I think part of that routine that Nathan Buckley was part of in 89, it was almost like a bit of a pitch, I suppose, for the Olympic Games for Melbourne for 1996.
Oh, okay.
So eventually went to Atlanta. And that 15 minutes proved that it was very lucky that we didn't get the Olympic Games because it would have been fucking horrific.
Yeah.
Trouble in Adelaide, mate. Trouble in Adelaide.
Always trouble in Adelaide, Michael. It's a dangerous town. That's what I tell you.
We don't like to see this kind of stuff. So at the CBD, let's say Saturday night, I'm not totally sure. Early this morning.
You know what? I'm going to say Saturday night and I'm going to say post BNF.
Well, good point, but it says early this morning, so Monday morning. So maybe it was a big BNF for the two of them.
Well, depending on what they had in their pocket, it may have been Saturday night and they were still, carrying on.
Brad Crouch and Tyson Stengel were stopped by police and allegedly caught in possession of an illicit substance in the city early this morning. So they haven't been charged.
But they would be counselled. Or imagine that counselling. That would be, as a footy player, just be there going, oh, don't counsel me. I mean, I know I did wrong, but the counselling.
Yeah, sure.
Why do you think you did wrong, Brad? Oh, don't ask me the tough questions like counselling.
Yeah, sure. I think the question would be like, okay, guys, so you make about $500,000-$700,000 a year and you live in a town of two football teams and you have no repercussions for your actions whatsoever. So why did you feel the need to take drugs?
It also says like the club has come out and said, you know, the well-being of Brad and Tyson is also paramount. So look, I think they're well, but I think they're flying. they don't need the club's help. I mean, maybe today they do because they'd be like, you know, coming down a little bit. They're a little bit sad, but they don't know why they're sad. They're just like, they just got the 24-hour stare, just staring into the distance going, oh, wow. They go, you thinking about the Crow season? They're going, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, why are they worried about their well-being? It's like they've been laughing for like 48 hours, so they're fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
they were hugging each other when they were hugging the cops when they were arrested. These guys are really happy.
They're a bit chattery, but, you know, Lorien's talking.
Yeah.
And then we have...
And having played for the Crows this season, I reckon, you know what? I reckon you give them a little bit of a free pass there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I do find it...
You know, Brad Crouch has been under a lot of pressure. He doesn't know whether he's staying in Melbourne or he's going to go to Geelong. There's talk of him going all over the country. He's basically... you're picking on a homeless man.
I do find it interesting, though, that they haven't been charged by the fact that they've been caught with stuff. Mm. Unless it's marijuana. I feel like they might let you off for that.
Let's just assume.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like the cops would let you off for marijuana.
But in South Australia, isn't the old weed, the mull, decriminalised?
Yeah, it could be. Well, it's, you know, if you get caught with, you know, less than an amount. I'm talking to you, mate. Like, you run the business.
That's true. Yeah, but, mate, I'm a seller. I'm not an owner.
You're in the heart of stuff. Yeah.
And the quantities that I move are apparently illegal.
Yeah, sure. Gotcha. Yeah, because, I mean, you don't have a lot of land where you are, so you kind of, it's hard to grow. So you may concentrate on the chemicals and the storage and the...
Yeah, that's right. Well, I need a large farm that doesn't You don't want neighbours that are worried about a pill press going 24/7.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they're like coming over going, can you turn that pill press down? You go, oh, fuck, mate. I just got a batch.
Yeah,
I got
sure.
a batch. And if the angels, as I like to call them, if they don't get the batch, man, I tell you what, you'd be complaining about more than a pill press noise, I tell you.
Yeah, you're kind of in a situation where like it's very difficult to grow baby formula, I suppose.
It is
mixed with your product, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, when I go into a supermarket to buy hundreds of kilos of baby formula to extend my product, all of a sudden people go, Are you sending that offshore? I'm like, mate, it's staying here. It's going back into our economy.
It's Australian bought, Australian owned, mate.
Exactly. No one gives me a pat on the back for what I'm doing for the fucking economy, do they? No.
You're a bloody patriot.
Oh, mate, the amount of baby laxative I have put back into this nation.
Yeah, for sure. And by the Southern Cross tattoo you have on your shoulder, you're a bloody patriot. That's what you are.
I am a patriot, yeah. People ignore that. And I'll tell you who's a bloody patriot. Ted Fordham.
I know. We were talking Essendon. He came out during the week.
I mean, you expect if Essendon's going badly, you go, oh, here we go. Not, you know, trot out... Mr. fucking Rent-A-Quote, Ted Fordham, here he comes. Bang, 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 there goes Fordham. Old Two Guns Fordham, they call him. You know, even though I shot off three then, he reloaded. But he came out this week and has absolutely unloaded on the Essendon Football Club. And you just sit back and you go, yeah, classic Fordham, man.
Yeah.
Classic.
He broke his silence. He couldn't hold it back anymore, Adam.
Like, he sat on it for 55 years.
And he came out and he teed off on Joe Danaher, and it was everybody knows we're talking about the former Bombers vice president who kicked seven goals in the club's 1965 grand final. I mean, everybody.
What are you even saying?
I mean,
again?
Yeah, I know. I feel for our overseas listeners. Okay?
Gotcha.
I feel stupid saying it out loud. Yeah. I mean, we got taught the shit at school. But Fordham kicking seven in the grand final in 65.
Like, mate, you know what surprised me the most is that Ted Fordham's alive.
But he teed off on Joe Danaher is that he thinks he's bigger than the club. And when a bloke gets to that stage, you bloody got to get rid of him. You only have to look at his last 11 games and stats. He's done nothing and he thinks he's a superstar. I mean, that's strong.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, Fordham's come out strongly before, but that, I mean, I haven't heard words like that from Fordham in the past.
Nah, but then he sort of did, he did sort of temper that. He said, I can't say anything bad about him as a person, because he doesn't know him, but as a player at the Essendon Football Club, I think he has set a very, very bad example.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, so I can't say anything Fordham bad about him as a person. So in the previous two lines, he said he thinks he's bigger than the club, okay? That's a pretty fucking bad thing to say about a bloke. And then he's done nothing and he thinks he's a superstar. And then he goes, I can't say anything bad about him as a person. Gee, you don't want to get on the wrong side of Fordham. He'll really fucking tee off in you one day.
Well, you know what? That's an indication of it. And I think they should be worried about Fordham. I think he's got Alzheimer's. He's fucking teeing off in one hour. He's a fucking idiot, Joe Danaher. I tell you what, I really like Joe Danaher. You go, all right, Ted, you need another lie down, mate.
He's a loose cannon. So he spoke to the Herald Sun as part of the club's 55th premiership reunion they had on Zoom on Friday. That's pretty cool.
So the Herald Sun have gone, we need someone to tee off on Essendon. We've gone through all the usual channels. Tim Watson's probably had his say. I know Mick McGuan came out and said quite a bit about the Bombers.
Bombers,
everyone's
not,
had their crack. They go, Thompson, we need one more.
Bomber Thompson's not answering the phone. Well, not
who else is
well,
there?
One of his phones.
Yeah. We don't have that number though. We leave a message and sometimes he'll call us back, but it's not always the same. How did they get hold of Ted Fordham? Like, how did he pop up at the Herald Sun's desk and go, mate, we've got an Essendon player. Oh yeah, who have you got? You got fucking, because Dean Wallace has had a crack. You know who else you got? Mark Harvey, is he going to say anything? Oh no, we got Ted Fordham. Fuck, that doesn't ring any bells. Is he 84 premiership, 85? 65, mate.
And I don't mean to disparage the man by the fact that, you know, he had a great career. He played 128 games. He kicked 214 goals, kicked 7 in a grand final. But honest question, have you ever heard of him? Like, and again, I'm not fucking having shit on Ted Fordham, but it's like if each grand final year, like you kind of, even if they're 55 years ago, you still know a few names that played in the game. I've never heard that name in my life.
No, nor have I. And it's one of those ones, like you say, of that era you hear of the absolute superstars. Like, we all know John Coleman, we know Norm Smith, you know, the big names of that era. But I've never heard of Ted Fordham before. And I'll tell you what, for someone who doesn't mind Joe Danaher as a bloke, he picks it up later on. He says they should have let Joe Danaher go last year and got what they could for him. It sickens me to see Zach Merritt and Andrew McGrath and Dylan Schill and a few of the others busting their balls to get the ball down and other blokes sitting on the fence like Danaher did in a game.
So
for someone who doesn't mind Joe Danaher, tell me what.
But he's a lovely guy.
Hates Joe Danaher.
Ah, Fordham. Good on you, mate. We had the big D listings at North Melbourne last week. And now
unbelievable what's going on down at North. Like, they delisted 11. They've told Sean Higgins to go test the waters, see what's out there. They've also told Ben Brown, which is just, have you seen a fall from grace in a season like that? Like, that rapidly. So apparently he had an offer of 3 years on the table at the start of this season for $900,000 a year. And he and his manager said, we want four. And we're not going to sign. And they didn't. And now he's going to get shopped around to a club for maybe, what do you reckon, $500,000?
Dude, I mean, they'll try and get him for as cheap as he can. But also, at the start of the year, I mean, well, during the year, he talked about maybe this year being the last year. Maybe he wants to go home back to Tasmania or something like that. But for the last 3 years, he kicked 60 goals plus, and I think finished in the mix with Coleman. Didn't actually win one. But now it's like, mate, can you imagine having a deal on the table for that much money, you know, in March, and then by September, it's fucking gone. Like, they've gone, okay, fuck off. Remember that Dusty story a few years ago when he started chopping himself around to the Giants? and then had to come back to Richmond and be like, they don't want me. And they were like, oh, cool. Okay. I'm going to write a number down and you're going to fucking take it.
But just in the space of what? It's been 6 months.
Yeah.
He has... And a lot of it through no fault of his own. Like, it's not exactly North Melbourne were flying and he had a shocker.
Yeah.
It, you know, they weren't exactly kicking the ball to him. He was a little bit out of form. He couldn't find a back. He injures himself. And you go from a three-year guaranteed contract to you're basically out of a job. And now teams are going, yeah, maybe we'll take him. We might give you a fifth rounder for him.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got a smell on you now, don't you? Like, if your own club
through
saying,
no
you know,
fault
fuck
of
off.
Your own.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, with
but
all the...
Okay, so the question without notice. Where are North Melbourne getting all these replacement players from? So they've delisted 11. They want to get rid of Brown, obviously, and they're trying to get rid of Polek, and I imagine they'll try and offload Aaron Hall if they can. So there's 14 players. You go to the draft, you probably get, what, five? Maybe a couple of rookies?
I think you go to draft, you can get as many as you want just by the fact you need to fill up your list. Yeah, you get a few rookies, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, but you know, by the end of it could be like just North Melbourne picking by itself, you know, with pick 81, 82, 83, 84.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But, you know, with getting rid of all the money that they don't have to pay these people anymore, you know what North Melbourne will have?
Oh, yes, I do.
They can have a war chest.
Fuck, oh, mate. They've already got a war chest.
The fabled war chest.
Fucking hell, can you imagine the size of this team's war chest? They're going to be more war chest than football team.
They had a war chest back in like 2016. That's how big is that fucking war chest now?
Yeah, mate. And I'll tell you what, when you've got a war chest, you've got to use it properly. They go, oh, yeah, we've got a war chest. Let's get Jared Polek. And everyone else in the AFL went, have him. That's fine. You're paying, really? That's what you're using your war chest on?
It's a big war chest.
What sort of war are you in? The war for the wooden spoon? Fucking hell.
It's like a king who kind of wasted all their money, you know, like
they've got a war warehouse at the moment. Like, it is fucking they are so full of money, North Melbourne. They're like the candy man. Like, they're just fucking splashing out money everywhere. They go fucking all the players are gonna rock up in fucking Lamborghinis. They go, just fucking we need to reach the salary cap.
Oh, that's so awesome, the war chest.
Because that's the other thing. When they're getting rid of all this kind of big money that's on their books, you have to pay to a certain amount of the salary cap.
Yeah, you do,
So someone is going to have the best front-loaded contract of all time.
Yeah, sure. So, like, someone will get drafted and they'll be like, oh, you know, you're only allowed to pay like 90 grand a year. And North Melbourne are like... We're going to pay you $1.3 million.
Yeah, we're going to sign a Category B rookie, an ex-badminton player. We're going to pay him $8 million in the first two games, and we're signing him for 22 years.
Gee, our AFLW team, like, they've all bought, like, $3 million houses. Like, this
is you know what they could have bought?
Batmobile.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, man. So that went, I think that went yesterday. So, yeah, backstory. So we all know the Angry Addison Batmobile at the 1991 Grand Final where I watched my team. Ba, 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 da, down, down. And
I was at that game as well.
Yeah, sure. Isn't that funny? Where were you sitting?
So opposite grandstand side on the half forward flank, city end, I suppose, if there was an end.
Yeah, city is a strong term to use.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah, it was only like 6,000 torpedo punts away from the city. But city-ish end, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so Angry Anderson, Batmobile, came out, sing Bound for Glory. Everybody laughed a lot. I remember a friend of the show, Limo, he did a couple of tours of Iraq or Afghanistan with Angry. And,
oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, he was a big rock star, you know?
Yeah, true. I remember those tattoos were huge.
But he talked about he gets to remember two things, building playgrounds on A Current Affair.
Of course.
And the Batmobile, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I remember he was on a show that I worked on years ago, like 2011, and I just had a chat, you know, a couple of drinks with him after in the green room because he toured with Guns N' Roses and stuff. So I was like, oh, sick, I'm going to... Like, he, you know, hung out with AC/DC, Metallica, yep, stuff like that. So he was telling me all the stories. And, like, the people, other, you know, friends were coming over and, like, you know, trying to quote unquote save me from being
bungled
up and angry. But I'm like, nah, man, it's fucking sick. Like, I want to hear the story about how Axel would carry a gun because he thought people were going to kill him. So I was like, this is fucking good stuff.
Yeah, they didn't think you were hearing, they thought you were hearing stories about building another playground out in Blacktown.
Yeah, like if you opened with, Michael, nice to meet you. Anyway, I was on the Batmobile. I'd be like, okay. But yeah, so it's
But even then, I would want to know that story about the Batmobile. Like, how did it come about? I know, was there a Batman movie in 91? There must have been. Is that the Michael Keaton era?
I think the Michael Keaton one came out in 1989, I'm going to go with. And so I reckon 92 might have been the sequel. So
why did we go with the Batmobile? Like, what was the point of it? I can't even remember.
No, I can't really remember either, yeah. And so it's been bought by a consortium of people. So I think about, I heard a bit on the radio earlier today, so I think about 30-odd people got together and pitched in, you know, $500 or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're not totally sure what they can do with it by the fact you can't drive it down the street.
Well, it would be good, like, if you wanted to go for a cruise and decapitate your whole family. Like, it's a great car for that.
But also I wonder, like, where can you put it? In the words of Indiana Jones, it belongs in a museum. Like, do you put it in the AFL, in the sports museum, the MCG, or...
Yeah, I think it belongs somewhere. I don't think it should be in the hand of punters because then it could be lost. It's a moment in time, a tragic one, but it's one that we should be celebrating or mocking every few years. And so school children can come through and be like, what do you mean? What do you mean someone drove that onto the field? What the fuck happened? What happened that year, Australia?
I do remember, I think it might have been 2015. I feel like it might have been 2015 when they did the grand final, and you know how they have like kind of a bigger and bigger kind of, you know, kid zone and, you know, events going on. I feel like the Batmobile was on display then, or one of those
as
years.
It should be.
Yeah, yeah. But look
for
at
future generations to see like a car with a velour couch in the back.
And you know what? I have a feeling that was to bring back to the Olympics again. Mm. I have a feeling like there was an Olympic theme by the fact that Robert De Castella was there, Lisa Ndurki was there. I feel like there was like an Olympic theme, almost like kind of, you know, we're sending our athletes off to Barcelona or something like that. So by then would they have picked the games? I think they've picked the games by then, but I think there was an Olympic theme. It was like, you know, we're bound for glory.
Yeah, well, why don't you just focus on the fucking grand final?
Well, that's the thing.
Don't worry about the Olympics, you fucking moron.
Why is the AFL fucking so focused on the fucking Olympics? But it's like, hey, how about you promote the game in fucking Queensland and New South Wales, mate?
Or was this one of those ones where they always go, I'll tell you what, it'd be a great exhibition sport, AFL. And you go, well, no, it fucking wouldn't, because there'd be one country playing it, you fucking morons. And if other countries did do it, we'd dominate and it would be shit and no one really wants to watch it. Just accept that it's an Australian Indigenous sport and it's not going around the world. Stop fucking trying to push it on everyone.
Dude. Mate. We hate to... Well, we've got some footballers in real life for you. But sad news this week.
Sad note to end, to almost end the show on this
yeah.
week.
Yeah, I mean, and I find very little humorous about this man's last, you know, 24 months. I find it hard to even smile or smirk.
I know, but you know what? When you think back of his memory, it warms your heart. And yeah. I'm not sure whether that's the Weizen pulver or what that is. It's just... You just feel good about yourself when you think of the name Jack Watts.
Yeah, I mean,
what he's brought to the Junk Time AFL podcast. I reckon he's almost like our, you know, I mean, we've named our Adelaide studios after him as it should have been, and
yep.
What would you say? He's our patron saint.
I suppose so. Yeah. I mean, Ted Fordham has been unavailable for comment about the end of the career, but yeah, Jack Watts retired this week, and I suppose we want to give him a shout out and just say, hey, for about a month or two, you gave us a lot of entertainment. Some entertainment that you didn't want yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, when I mean, Jack, when you snorted the Weizen pulver off the cleavage of a German woman at Oktoberfest and then filmed it and it got put on YouTube. It was just one of those moments where, you know, it's like, where were you?
Oh, and it was an inspiration for young boys. Every young boy in playgrounds around Australia, getting out the whiz fizz and, you know, calling over their mates, going, oh, I want to be like Jack Watts. Put it on your chest.
And also the education to the young children out there by his commitment to physical fitness, by the fact he loves swimming. He loves swimming, I think is a great thing for all Australian children out there. Just kind of, you know, do your backstroke, your breaststroke, what's the one where you're doing the big
butterfly.
Butterfly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. He loved it. He loved every stroke that was available to him.
Yeah, no.
And you know what else he taught us, Michael? He taught us to be really careful about technology in the cloud.
He was big about that, yeah, for sure. Always.
I mean,
it
was afterwards. He probably should have been bigger on it earlier. But, you know, when you're just trying to, when you're trying to help people out by offering them home, some of them may be homeless, we don't know. Mm-hmm. But when you're offering someone a place to stay at 3 a.m, and all of a sudden people come for you and say you're a bad person, and you go, I see a good person offering up a warm bed to a potentially someone who could be sleeping on the street. And that's overlooked. And we salute you, Jack Watts,
and
for
also,
your passion.
I mean, we forget how good an actor he was by the fact that in some messages we saw that there was a person who was in a nightclub and Jack had to pretend that he didn't know that person, and you go, that's his commitment to the arts as well. You know, we got to remember that as well.
Well, that's just, you know, helping other people out. Maybe if he didn't want to get them in trouble, so say they go, oh, that's Jack Watts, and then someone goes, how do you know Jack Watts? He's like, oh, I don't want any part of that. I am an anonymous person. You know what? He didn't want to be known as Jack Watts. He just wanted to be an anonymous person. He didn't love the fame, Michael. He just wanted to slide by into your DMs wherever he slid and just just get by in life, you know. He wasn't about being recognized.
No. Simple life for Jack.
It was simple.
Hey, a few footballers in real life. From Justin. My wife saw Nick Riewoldt and three other men, in brackets, apparently look like they could have been footballers, at the North Road playground in Brighton Beach. None of them wearing masks, in direct contradiction to the government orders. He was wearing shorts and a long sleeve t-shirt. Come on, Nick!
Well, that is not good enough. That is...
Bloody hell.
It's disappointing is what it is.
Do you actually, with the announcement yesterday, do you still have to wear a mask outside?
Masks, yes, but I can get out, mate. I can be on the streets at 9:01 tonight. Fucking party time.
Shit's gonna happen.
And you know what I'm looking forward to is just catching up with my mates and just having a good old-fashioned red-hot picnic. You just miss it, you know? When you just, you and your mates just catch up and you go, you know what I want to do, fellas? You know what I fucking love? You know what Jack Watts would have loved? Just fucking picnic.
Get a bit of fucking salami, a bit of cheese, a bit of camembert.
Oh, some...
Fucking
some
get out there. Yeah, dude. Fucking line out the rug and just living your best
life. How good is that? Like,
life.
You know, oh, mate, well, you know when someone gives you a picnic rug at Christmas and a lot of times you feign like indifference, like you'd fucking, like you go, you don't know me at all, but deep down you're like, fuck yes, another picnic rug. Come on. Fuck, I hope I get a hamper to go with this. A wicker hamper is what I really want.
Oh, fuck.
Thanks, Mum.
Yeah,
you know me too well.
There has been a lot of picnic talk during the lockdown. Like, people like kind of like even walking through a park and seeing people having a picnic. It's like,
well, that's all we've got, though. That's all we've got. We can't go to people's houses.
Yeah, but I like you. But if you invited me to a picnic, I'd be like, I'm very busy, mate.
What about if I invited you to a picnic with Brad Crouch and Tyson Stengel?
I mean, hello. I'm right there. I'm already there.
Yeah, cops come over. What are you doing picnicking at 1 a.m?
Actually, that reminds me.
And you haven't touched any of this fucking...
Well, they're drinking a lot of water. there was a Brisbane Broncos player who I think might have retired on the weekend. Decorated career. And then in the final bit, I think they finished last this year, so it wasn't a great year for the Broncos.
They definitely did.
And then before heading off the ground, he did a gender reveal. So he had a little mini rugby ball.
Oh, yeah.
And he kicked the ball, turned out pink, and all the teammates were very happy and hugged him, you know, saying farewell. Now, I like you, but If you ever ask me to a gender reveal, I am not showing up.
I've got a... Okay, I've got a great one planned, though. You let me know, right? So what happens is I have a meth pipe and I get the glass barbecue happening and then the smoke I blow out reveals the child.
Yeah, gotcha.
Oh, blue smoke. Rose having a boy. Yay.
I got a better one. Okay, so...
Better than that.
Fuck. Yeah, a better one. So, because I'm expecting in a month. So, okay, this one I'm planning, okay. So, Mike Brady is playing up there, Kazali. in the middle of the MCG, it's empty.
Yep.
And then at the end of it, I grab the guitar out of Mike Brady's hands and I smash it over his head and it comes out pink or blue. I don't know, pink or blue, I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet. But
that's haunting. That's beautiful.
Yeah, what a way to celebrate the game than smashing Mike Brady's guitar over his head.
I think he would like that. And let me take a stab and say... He's free.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to fling him 50. Like, he'll be fine. He'll be grateful.
Oh, mate, you got to take care of him. He's not a dancer. You can pay him.
From Jason, a football in real life for you from the Goldie. Hey, we got someone getting a little bit of a golfy putt-putt. Saw Ben King walking along around the Pacific Fair shops in Broadbeach. He was with a lady companion. He was holding a Just Jeans bag. Must love the Job Watson double denim look. Although I'm fairly sure it was Ben. It may have well been Max King instead, enjoying the Gold Coast lifestyle. Can't be too sure. Looking forward to visiting the best mini golf place in the world.
We shall take care of you, Jason. All yours. Putt away, my friend. Putt away.
On us and all for the people out there in the Goldie. If you know, in the latter days when you can spot an AFL football in real life, give us the yell and we will sort you out with King Tut's putt-putt, which will be...
So there would be quite a few teams now who are free of the hubs, is that right? They would be just living as Queenslanders.
That's the thing. I think there'd be a bunch of people who, you know, would come back for Victoria for, you know, family reasons and stuff like that. But I think they're just like dudes now just living there, just being like, you know, having a drink, having a, you know, whatever.
Curly Whirly Fry.
I suppose so, yeah, at a Hog's Breath. Kind of the end of the year and kind of, you know, because I suppose... I mean, the traditional kind of end of the year trip, they always, you know, go to America, Europe or whatever. But that's not really on the cards now.
It's disappointing. Shattering.
From Frankie. I was disappointed that there were no footballers in real life last week, so I thought I might contribute my own. From the heady days of January, when we could be smashed in public with our friends.
They were good times.
I remember that. In January. I was home visiting my friends and family last Christmas and I was on a pub crawl through Port Adelaide I no longer recognise. In brackets, not a fink in front of a bar to be found. After spending a large chunk of the day drinking at Ye Olde Pirate Life, I decided to check out the many wine bars that now litter the port.
Pirate Life have the brewery there.
They must, yeah.
Well, there you go. Look at you, Port Adelaide. Excuse us.
I can't remember the names of the ones we ended up in, but we were sat coughing red and eating pizza when a group of people wandered in and took the table next to ours. It didn't take... Oh, here we go. Well, speak of the man. It didn't take much notice at first, but they got rowdier and I realised that they had the corner of my eye that one of them was normally large and tall, much bigger than any normal human. I looked over and locked eyes with none other than Junk Time favourite Jack Watts. There we go.
Oh, what a fitting end to this week's Junk Time.
It's really completed the story. You know, we've come a full loop, haven't we?
Yeah.
He was wearing Speedos because he was swimming it. He must have come from the pool. No, I made that up. The look in his eye hinted at a Weizenpulver-fueled adventure around the town if we joined our parties up. But the look in his eyes of the two women with him said, stay the fuck at your own table. I decided against introducing myself and am now only left to wonder what could have been.
You have missed out, Frankie. I reckon you would have had possibly... the greatest night of your life.
I guess they have plenty of time to sample the finest establishment in South Australia now he's retired. And now you all know where to find him if you ever ride allowed back into South Australia for a drink or two. One day we hopefully get back there, mate.
Absolutely. We'll get straight off the plane and head down to the Pirate Life.
It sounds very la-di-da. I did a gig in Port Adelaide, but a long time ago, like a good, you know, even 15 years ago. But I can't really remember much about the fine establishments at the time.
That's disappointing, Michael.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems to be looking nicer with the wine bars. And if Jay Watts is walking through the door, so doing some of his finest work. We're going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go.
Go, Jack Watts.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.